Thank you, Brad. And without further ado, we're going to sit down and visit with District 17 Congressman Bill Flores. Good morning, Congressman. How are you this morning?
Good morning. It's great to be on News Talk 1620. And also, I want to give a big shout-out to the Aggs. They did a great job versus LSU last night. I missed the game, but it sounds like it was a great one.
It was nip and tuck into the third, and then I think the Aggs had enough and said, all right, it's time to go. And they did just that. Well, Congressman, we've got a lot of things going on. I know you're busy as you can be right now, even without a whole lot going on specifically in your wheelhouse. But let's start off with the Supreme Court. They announced yesterday they've got a bunch of hot button issues, including immigration, and they're going to take that one up.
That's correct. As you know, the president tried to implement some unconstitutional, unlawful actions back in 2013. And we had a South Texas judge stop it, and then that judge's decisions were affirmed by the Fifth Circuit Court. And so it's been appealed by the federal government to the Supreme Court, and I'm hopeful that the Supreme Court will uphold the rule of law and the Constitution and to stop the president's bad behavior.
With that being said, now, we thought the same thing with Obamacare, and that one skated through thanks to Judge Roberts.
That's correct. And that, I have to say, this Supreme Court has had some incredibly disappointing opinions during my time in Congress, but yet they've had some good ones as well. So I'm hopeful that this falls in the good category.
Jump into one more. The president vetoed an attempt to overturn the landmark legislation about the federal power over local waterways.
That's correct. We passed something called a Congressional Review Act to veto the EPA's attempts to change the definition of navigable waters. They're basically saying that every mud puddle is navigable water, and that's clearly not what was intended under the Clean Water Act. So we passed something to veto it, and it went to the president vetoed the veto, so he sided for the bureaucrats against the hardworking American families that are feeling their paychecks stay stagnant over the past few years. It's going to be a rough year. And hopefully, Congress will do all it can to try to stop additional bad behavior, but I'm not optimistic that we'll win every battle. But if we put the right person in the White House come next January, it will be really easy to turn all these bad behaviors around.
With the ruling or the veto of the EPA project, what would be the next step for you in Congress?
Well, we've already heard there's not much we can do on that specific issue. I mean, it's pretty well dead. But that said, when you go back to the omnibus appropriations agreement that passed last December, one of the things it did is it reduced EPA funding back to 2008 levels, and it also cut their headcount back to 1989 levels. So the only hope I can give to our constituents is that they have a lot fewer bureaucrats to engage in bad behavior. And they have a lot less money. So they're funding back at the tail end of the George W. Bush administration versus where they were getting funded during the Obama administration. So, the money is essentially gasoline for the EPA car. And so we've cut off a big chunk of the gasoline. So hopefully they won't be able to do as much as they have been.
Well, you mentioned gasoline. Oil prices keep plummeting as well. Is there anything in your wheelhouse on that you'd like to talk about? Because I know that is kind of your forte.
Well, we're in kind of a rough spot right now. The American industry has been fabulously successful in terms of developing new supplies and new production. At the same time, Saudi Arabia has decided to open up its spigots, and now we've got this other factor with the Iranian sanctions being lifted. They're going to have about 38 million barrels in storage that they can dump into the market, and they've also got about 300,000 barrels a day of production that will enter the market that was previously off. So we're in for a rough spot. The good news is in the omnibus that passed last December, we lifted the ban on U.S. exports, and that does give a little bit of additional pricing margin to our domestic producers that they didn't have before. So without that, domestic prices would probably be another $2 lower for our producers, which would hurt them. And someday we can walk through the economics of this, how this works. At least they're getting a little help, but it's not nearly enough. It is going to be a rough slog. Those companies that are well capitalized, I think, are in a position to make some great acquisitions of properties, and those companies that were a little over-leveraged are going to have some struggles.
Speaking with District 17 Congressman Bill Flores, so, Congressman, what is on your radar coming up?
Well, next week we've got two big votes coming up. As you know, we passed a bill called Reconciliation. that pulled out big chunks of Obamacare, and it also defunded Planned Parenthood. That bill went to the president. The president vetoed that bill, and we're going to try to override that veto next week. So I feel like we've got a good chance. There's enough Democrats in the House that don't like Obamacare. We've got a good chance we may be able to override it in the House. We won't be able to do it in the Senate, so Obamacare will be with us for at least one more year. But at least the American people know clearly that if you have the right Congress and the right president, then you can get rid of this oppressive law. The next thing that we're going to do is to deal with some of the Iranian actions lately. They fired some ballistic missiles in an area where some of our Navy fleet was, and so we're going to try to put new sanctions in place for that and some of the other bad behavior they've engaged in. Of course, the president wants to release the sanctions on the other side because of his Iranian nuclear deal. Congress has a totally different intention, and we intend to try to put additional sanctions in place.
The likelihood of that going through, though, is pretty small, is it not?
Candidly, you're right. It's just pretty small. This president just seems like he is kowtowed to Iran at every turn. I didn't like the Iranian nuclear deal, but even if I'd been the guy negotiating it, I would have said that we're not going to talk about it until you release our prisoners, the U.S. prisoners that you're holding. And I would not have released the sanctions money until they paid for their $40 billion in judgments they have outstanding against them. But the president instead went ahead and went through with the nuclear deal without dealing with those two issues. And then he had to swap U.S. prisoners and to take Iranian bad guys off the bad guy list in exchange for getting our people back. And that's just a bad trade. It reminds me of the Bergdahl trade in terms of how bad it was. You know, I'm glad these folks are home, and particularly Saeed Abedini. And we've been trying to get him out for 3 years now. And I can't believe what a bad negotiator the president is. His philosophy is just awful. So we're not going to have much luck until this president's out of office.
We've got District 17 Congressman Bill Flores on the phone. In that vein now, with everything that was going on with Iraq, what was the rationale, do you know, behind the United States allowing then not only their money to be released, but also over $1 billion in gained interest from it sitting in the banks over here?
It's a head scratcher for me. This president seems to care more about Iran than he does the American people. If you remember, he's trying to block U.S. exports of oil. At the same time, he was saying it was fine for Iran to be able to export their oil, and they're the bad actor, not the United States. I just don't understand the logic of this man, and I think most Americans don't either, and that's the reason he has such bad approval ratings.
Before we run out of time, and because the oil patch is such an important part of the Brazos Valley and everything that's going on, with the opening up of exports from the United States to other countries, how big a benefit is that going to be, especially here locally?
Well, in the short term, we're not going to feel much because we have such an oversupplied market, and we don't really seem to have the economic growth to increase energy demand. So in the short term, we're not going to feel much of an impact. Over the longer term, it's going to be huge. Not only will it be good for our economy, it'll be good for our domestic producers, it'll be good for our consumers, it's good for the balance of trade. It's also good for our geopolitical standing in the world. I'll tell you, the country that's hurting the worst from low oil prices is Russia. And so their ability to have the resources they need to continue being disruptive around the world is drying up pretty quickly. So that will ease the burden in terms of our national security resources moving forward. So, you know, when we look, if we're 5 years from today and we're looking back to today, I think we're going to feel a huge improvement in the United States environment as a whole because of what we've done.
Congressman, thank you for the time. Always a pleasure.
It's good to talk to you. I ask our listeners to continue praying for our country, our military men and women, and our first responders. And in particular, one of the men on those helicopters out in Hawaii was from College Station. He's a constituent. So keep Major Sean Campbell and his family in our prayers.